Hi, today is July 9, 2023. This is Mobius Podcast 465. I'm Todd Gossamore with my good friend, Dr. John Westfall. Before we get started, I wanted to thank my other good friend, Jared Kuriva, for guest co-hosting Podcast 464 and truly educating me about the, at least the current set of AR, VR glasses he's bought so far. And this was in context, of course, of the recent Apple Vision Pro announcement, which I don't think anybody I know has $3,500 plus prescription fees if you wear glasses, burning a hole in their pocket to buy one next year. But, you know, as I told you,
I am very, very tempted. And it's not that I have the money that I just want to destroy.
All right.
It's that, I don't know, I still think if anyone's going to actually have something that might be worthwhile, it might be Apple. So.
I agree. And I will, again, on your behalf, I will plead to the National Science Foundation that there is a very, 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 very good professor of psychology over in let's see, you are east of the Mississippi. And I think he is very worthy of a very large, very, very large grant to take a serious look at the Vision Pro and various things. But at any rate, yeah, I wanted to thank Jared for actually meeting me in person. One of the things I wanted to mention was, you know, we recorded it outside again. So I used the Abjiga Bluetooth. Actually, it's not really Bluetooth. Whatever lav frequency is used, you know, 700 megahertz, whatever. Wireless lavs outdoors near the ocean again, because there's Wi-Fi there. So I can upload the audio as we're in real time, which is nice, you know, as a backup. And I have to give Adobe Enhance their podcast enhancement tool, which is free at the moment. I don't know when they're going to start charging, a shout out, because it did a really good job of mostly cleaning up my voice. I don't know why, but everybody except me sounds good on the wireless lavs. And it might just be that, hey, you know, you just sound terrible, so too bad. But it did a good job of cleaning up my voice a bit. Jared actually sounded good without the, you know, prior to the enhancement process. But that was a lot of fun, and I know which AR VR glasses I would buy now if I were so inclined, and I'm not so inclined at the moment, but I am tempted.
If you didn't feel like waiting for Apple Vision Pro.
Oh, the other thing I was going to say is, and I mentioned it to Jared when we recorded the ARVR podcast, is I am not the right person to comment on pricing, because I think I've told you this story many times, John, but when the iPod first came out, I said, who in their right mind is going to pay $400 or whatever the first iPod costs for a music player? Seriously, you know, it doesn't even have a screen. And, you know, of course, it's sold by the boatloads. And then next one was, oh, yes, the iPhone, the first iPhone, which was, I think, the first unsubsidized mass market phone in the U.S., at least. In Europe, as we know, as our friends kept telling us, it was never subsidized. But I said, who's going to pay $600 for a phone by a company that's never made a phone before? And we know how that turned out. So I'm apparently very, very bad at the psychology of gadget pricing.
You just don't pick always the winner. But you have, you know, you find them eventually. You know, you tried other smartwatches before you got to an Apple Watch.
This is true. Many smartwatches. Yep, yep. And of course, you know, the beloved spot watches, which I still miss.
Yes.
But hey, so before we get to John's refresher of what he's bought, then they're not all AR VR. I think you may have bought one that was a viewing, but because there are other kinds of glasses that are very cool that John has bought and was using recently, I think. Mm-hmm. Getting back to the Apple Vision Pro, which is not going to be available to next year, it's apparently going to be an appointment-only purchase. So you got to go to an Apple store. For you, John, that's a long drive, by the way.
Yeah, that's going to be a bit of a hike.
What are you, about an hour away from the nearest Apple store?
Two.
Oh, boy.
Hours.
In Hawaii, by the way, it's like, no, nah, that's too long. That's halfway around the island. We're not going to go. But so you got to go to an Apple store and you got to get whatever process fitted. And then you're going to need custom prescriptions. The piece, the lenses themselves need to be fitted into this thing. If you wear glasses, and John and I both are glasses wearers. I don't know if you wear contacts, John. I do not.
I do wear contacts, and so I will probably just wear my contacts when I use this, because I tend to wear contacts during the work week anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So for John, it's a non-issue. That's a non-extra expense, or he's already prepaid that expense through contacts, yeah. I guess. But for me, it's not, which is why that, golly, what was the name of the one? Let me open up the other podcast. I think this is the other one. What's the one I really liked and Jared showed me? It had kind of an unusual name, a Rokid, O-R-O-K-I-D Max, Rokid Max, which is available on Amazon. I just checked for $439. It was $599 by the price drop. It actually has a built-in diopter adjustment. So you just put your two index fingers above the glasses system, and there's like two little rotating adjustments, and you just dial in the diopters until you meet your prescription needs. And I tried it. He let me try it. And I said, holy cow, this works really, really, really good. So really, really well, I guess is proper English. But I was really impressed by that. So you don't have, I don't have to buy, a prescription and have two different orders and all those kind of crazy things. So that's what I would buy if I were in the market for such a thing, which I am not yet. John may convince me over time. But Apple Watch had that same thing. I don't think you and I didn't go through that process, but wasn't that the case for the very first Apple Watch where you had to go in for an appointment?
You did not have to go in. I ordered my directly off the website and had it on launch day. So you did not have to go in, but they did allow you to go in if you wanted to. So that was where I remember that being an option, just because people were hesitant with a wearable device. It's kind of interesting because the bands at that time were all adjustable. We didn't have the solo loops, and so it wasn't like you had to worry about. But I guess you did have to worry about the larger the band and if you wanted that size or another size. So, I do remember it, but you didn't have to do it.
Okay. I think this is required. So neither of us went through that process, so we don't know what it was like. And as you said, it was not required. I thought it was required, but I am incorrect. I misremembered, as they say. So $3,500. That's just a whole heck of a lot of money. You know, as an old guy, I remember when you could buy a new car for that much money. I don't mean to downplay.
I watch those episodes of The Price is Right. So, yeah, I do. You know that was the thing that existed.
I remember when I was a kid, my neighbor across the street, who was a young guy. I mean, he was maybe 5 years older than me. He was in high school, and maybe we were both, but he was like a senior and I was a freshman. And I remember he worked at the local grocery store, and he paid 10 grand for a brand new BMW. And I thought, wow, that's a lot of money for working at a checkout stand. He did well later on in life, by the way. So it was did not bankrupt him. All right. So $3,500, Vision Pro, everything else. Jared has bought three different glasses, AR, VR type devices. Their total price is less than one-third the price of the Vision Pro. So you can buy all of them, plus the prescriptions, and still not even come close to the cost of Vision Pro. So I'm really curious to see who, aside from rich people with money to burn and maybe corporations with some very vertical applications, I'm very curious to see who this is for, because Apple seems to be aiming this at consumers. It doesn't seem like, the kind of business only stuff we saw, say, 25 years ago. When I remember, as I was relating to Jared, I remember meeting a Boeing fellow who was over in Microsoft's Redmond campus, who was telling us about how they're using, these ancient, now relatively speaking, these mid-1990s heads-up displays to, look at for engineers and mechanics and, other technical people to look at various things in the plane as it was being designed or built. I guess built, because they're actually working on physical objects. Moving on, before we get to John's stories, because I'm really interested to remember what he told me over the last couple of years about what he's bought. I finally got my Amazon Eero Wi-Fi mesh router working earlier this year. It turned out that it wasn't sending me the You need to get like an authentication code to use this thing. And the text messages weren't coming through at all for whatever reason. And it turns out the email that they had also sent was going to the junk mail. I just never looked. So I finally looked, got it working. But, you know, mesh router without another mesh device is really not a mesh router. So I've been reluctant. You know, I have a pretty small house. I've only got a few tiny dead spots. It's really of no significance. But as we approach Amazon's annual Prime Day, which is July 11th and 12th, even though 12th is not a prime number, but that's okay. It's all right. Should be 11 through 13, in my opinion. But as we approach Amazon's annual Summer Prime Day, one of the things that just came on sale, at least in my list, was the Amazon Echo Dot, which is their tiny little Echo speaker device. And normally, I think it's like $50, which is, you know, not expensive to begin with. But right now, it's $23 with a Bluetooth light bulb. And the neat thing about the Dot is that it is also an Eero Wi-Fi mesh device. So I can extend my network by spending $23 plus from each tax, because if you live in Hawaii, they charge tax, excise tax. I thought, well, heck, you know, that's a good way to try out an actual mesh thing. So I'm looking forward to that. It should be here, I think, tomorrow. The limitation is that the maximum downstream speed for this mesh extension type device is about 100 megabits per second, which I know the pundits, you know, the tech pundits we keep reading would say, oh my gosh, that's too slow. You know, you might die while you're waiting for something to download. But for those of us who grew up with 300 and 1200 and 2400 baud modems, 100 megabits per second down is pretty spiffy. So I do not have an issue with 100 megabits down. I would have done illegal things several years ago just to get 100 megabits down if I could and get away with it. So I'm looking forward to that, to extending into the few dead spots I have in my tiny little home for $23, I think. Plus, I'll get a light bulb. Although, yeah, I don't have a lot of incandescent lights left, so I'm not quite sure where to plug it in. Got mostly these LED things in our ceiling and stuff, or I think the LED, yeah, LED light. Okay, and then one more thing before we get into what I was really hoping to hear is John's glasses stuff, is Meta Threads. John, have you tried it? Did you jump in yet?
No, I didn't. I'm waiting on this one, see what comes of it, and I could see moving to it, because yeah, Twitter has become increasingly less and less useful.
Yes.
But I don't think I'm ready to pull the trigger on it just yet.
Okay, so I pulled the trigger on day one. In fact, John, if you scroll down through our notes, you will see that I am number 289,385 to join Threads. Now, you might say, well, so what? The interesting thing is, according to, I think, Meta itself, 70 million people signed up in the first couple of days after its launch. And I'm sure that number is higher now. So I've actually, 285,385 is actually a low number, which I'm kind of proud of in a weird way, you know, kind of a geeky way. Like, hey, I'm under not just a million, I'm under half a million. So pretty cool, you know. And so like you, or like many people, I should say, I've become disenchanted to Twitter because it's so many people and entities, companies have left it or are using it less that it's no longer serving for me as a source of useful information. So I signed up with a whole bunch of other stuff. I got a Mastodon, you know, I got on a Mastodon instance, and I tried Blue Sky, which is awful. It's by the co-creator of Twitter, but it's awful too. Blue Sky is terrible. I did, it was just as useless as Twitter is now. And I also tried, let me see, Mastodon, Blue Sky, tried a couple other things. None of them really caught my imagination, but I have to say I'm sort of liking Threads so far, even though it's pushing out people into my feed that I don't follow, which is what Twitter does now too. So, you know, that's just
yeah,
bad.
So it's going to happen anyway.
Yeah. So, but right now it's not there are useful pieces of information flowing from people I do follow and from things that they comment on and whatever the equivalent of retweeting is. In Meta Threads, so I'm hopeful that becomes a town center, so to speak, like Twitter used to be for me. So, you know, a place where I can, when something happens, I can go to it and find additional information, you know, earthquakes and hurricanes and stuff like that, which are important to us over here. By the way, the one thing, although everybody got excited about the 70, and actually I found an article that Search Engine Journal says it was 80 million as of Friday, a couple days ago. Instagram itself, from which it is drawing its user base, is 2.35 billion users. So, you know, 80 million or even 100 million users is literally a drop in a bucket, you know, single digit percentage of the actual number of Instagram users. So everybody is not jumping on board. But when you have 2.35 billion active monthly users that you to draw upon for your new service, you know, even only 80 or 90 or 100 million, that's an awful lot of people. So let me know when you hop on. I'm easy to find.
I will let you know for sure. Like I said, I don't know. In terms of my social media presence and what I actually get value out of, really, I still get value out of Facebook because I have enough people on there. I'm old enough that they use it for life updates sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And I get some value out of Instagram for just entertainment. I don't really follow anyone.
Cat pictures.
Cat pictures and short form video and all that. And I get, you know, value out of YouTube for long form video.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't really get much value out of Twitter these days.
No.
Microblogging in general. So, no, I'm not. I'm very tempted to just sit it out.
Well, like I mentioned, or at least alluded to, I was not a heavy Twitter user in terms of posting stuff there. I'd post our podcast, which I don't do any longer, on Twitter, at least. I post it to other venues, including LinkedIn and Mastodon. But it was a useful, you know, town center kind of service for me. I know, for example, when we used to have power outages, you know, because Hawaii is like a third world nation sometimes, all the time, and they were large. And the local power company's website was sometimes useful, but oftentimes it was like, for whatever reason, it wasn't keeping up with, you know, large scale issues, probably because they're too busy responding. I can understand that. But Twitter would tell me, hey, we're out of power in this part and this part. And so I would say, well, we've got power here, or, you know, or we were down and now we're up. And it would help me gauge, you know, the extent of a situation. And fortunately, we haven't had a hurricane or major earthquake here in years. So haven't had to use it for that. But it was certainly useful when stuff is happening to get a feedback is right, a status. And hopefully, you know, your sources on that you're looking at are reliable sources. And in general, they were, at least the ones I was following or checking on. So that's what my major... Oh, and also talking to companies. That was a great way to say, hey, I've got a problem with, you know, your widget. And they would say, hey, DM us and we'll try to fix it. So I'm hoping Meta's Threads can take over that function, so to speak, that Twitter performed so ably for so many years until recently. And I won't even get into political stuff because.
Well, I don't think it is any political controversy just to say Twitter does not work as well now as it did.
Yeah, totally agree. Okay. So,
yes, I can talk about glasses.
Yes.
And, you know, also, I'll give my story at the end of how you do a 5-minute logo creation that looks pretty decent.
Okay.
So you talked about I bought a lot of these. I actually thought a lot about buying glasses. Didn't pull the trigger that often.
Really?
I walked through. So the first pair of any kind of smart-ish glasses I ever had, I actually bought back in 2006, 2005, that era.
Wow.
And it was a... Yeah, it was an everything to everyone sort of thing. It had a camera in it. It had Bluetooth connectivity, I believe. It also had a built-in MP3 player. You could have put an SD card in it, and you could listen to music off of it. The earbuds that came off went into your ears. It came with tinted lenses. It could flip up the lenses. I think I paid something like $40 for this. It was not very sophisticated. It had a little remote that you could hit a button and it would take a photo.
That's a good price.
And of course, it took like 0.3 megapixel photos because it was very, you know, 2006.
It was $40.
I had a driver disk, you know, a little mini CD driver disk that you needed in order to connect to it off your computer. So not the most user-friendly thing in the world. Didn't take the best photos, and it was one of those jack-of-all-trades, master of none. And I did not use it for very much. If anything, I kept it around for a very long time thinking maybe I would start using it again. So that sort of made me, I suppose, very leery when I started to think about wanting a pair of video glasses. And this was, you know, kind of the idea I think a lot of people had where, well, gee, if I lay in bed a lot and I'm holding this tablet up over my face, it'd be nice if the glasses had that. I could just leave the, you know, computer or the tablet next to me and I could watch a movie or whatever without having to hold. And at that point, I started investigating a lot of the glasses that Jared talked about last week. Some of the same brands, same things. And this was over the last 5 years or so, and I'd see them pop up, and the prices were, as he noted, they're not bad. They're in the $100 to $300 range. But the problem I had was, honestly, I was the only one I knew thinking about these things, and I couldn't figure out what was a reliable, good product and what was likely to be a pretty cheap, you know, as they say, Chinesium sort of thing, where it comes from China, and who knows if someone did any kind of quality assurance on it, or if it was just, you know, gray market after hours, or if it was something else. So I never pulled the trigger on any of those, because I thought, if I'm going to spend $100 to $300, I want to know that it went through some sort of verification that it works.
Yeah.
So then last summer, I was on Facebook, and I got an ad for the Ray-Ban Stories. And they were on sale at that point. They go on and off sale every so often. And they are a pair of sunglasses that also has video camera in them, or a camera in them.
Mm.
And they can do Bluetooth playback. It has a couple of speakers on the arms of the glasses, so you can listen to something through it. And I thought, well, okay, the price range, $200 or less. It's from a company that I've heard of, Ray-Ban. Even if they're licensing their name, I wasn't quite sure if it was made by Ray-Ban or they were just licensing their name, but I figured they're not going to license their name to a horrible person, in a sense, hopefully. And the software was made by a company called Meta.
Hmm.
And I had heard of Meta, as we all have, and I thought, well, it might be annoying, and then I might have to hook it into my Facebook account, or I might have to do some other thing with it, but at least hopefully it'll work. So I pulled the trigger.
Well,
bought them last year, and I've actually used them quite a bit over the last year and a half. Where they excel is whenever you would be with a group of people and you'd want to take a quick photo or a video, but you wouldn't want to necessarily pull out your phone to do it. You don't want to ruin the flow, in a sense. And when you want to take incidental video that you just sort of see it, you go, I want some walking around footage, or I want some riding in a car footage. So on a recent trip, I was riding down in a car in the street that had a bunch of interesting little kitschy businesses and stuff. And so I took a minute long video of just looking out the window. And that was kind of cool to be able to see those different items. I've taken it on roller coasters at theme parks, and that's kind of neat. You know, take a video as you're going up and down.
Mm-hmm.
The glasses, because they are made by Ray-Ban, the actual lenses are very nice. And so I stopped using the cheap glasses and cheap sunglasses that I'd used for years and started wearing them as my regular daily sunglasses.
Now, did you buy prescriptions for these, or did you wear contacts when you used these?
Yeah, I just wear contacts with them.
Okay.
So I didn't buy the prescriptions.
Okay.
But what I did do, and so if you remember years ago, I said that I started using my AirPods a lot more once I wore them on a little holder on my belt.
Yes, you remember that.
Instead of pulling them out of my bag, because that little bit of friction to pull them out of my bag was enough for me that I wasn't using them.
That's funny.
Same thing with the Ray-Ban glasses. When I thought of them as cameras, Right. And I thought, okay, I'm only going to pull them out when I want to take video. I'm not going to wear them as my daily sunglasses, etc. I never used them because they would sit in my bag or they'd sit at home and I just didn't have them with me. About, I guess, a year ago, I said, you know, these are really nice sunglasses. I paid $100 or $200 for them. I'm just going to wear them as my daily sunglasses. You know, otherwise, why bother owning them? And at that moment, even though I don't turn them on all the time, so they're not always immediately ready to take a photo, I started taking a lot more photos with them because it was all of a sudden, oh, they're right on my face. I'll just, in fact, when I'm wearing my regular glasses from time to time, I'll reach up and go to hit the button to take a video, and I can't because they're just regular old dumb glasses and not, you know, my Ray-Bans. So I've been pretty happy with them. The oddities of them, and there are some downsides. One, for a while, I thought I had a defective pair because the power button is a slider switch.
Right.
You slide it all the way forward to go into pairing mode. And I did not realize that you had to, every time you turn it on, slide it past the on position to like the forwardmost position until it turns itself on. So I would just flick the switch from off to on. It's almost like a car ignition. You have to slide it all the way forward, let it turn on the thing, and then it slides back slightly into the on position.
Huh.
And that was a little weird. For a while, I thought, yeah, I keep turning these things on and they don't power up. I must have a defective pair. And then I read the manual and I was like, no, you have to slide it all the way forward and wait until you see the light come on and then it starts up. That was a little odd. Occasionally, the pairing mechanism to transfer the photos, it transfers photos over Wi-Fi, not over Bluetooth.
Hmm.
It doesn't transfer them to Wi-Fi like your home Wi-Fi network. It transfers them as a peer-to-peer connection with your phone. So in the app, you open the app and you say, you know, connect to my phone, connect to my glasses. It knows it's already connected over Bluetooth for the audio. So it then tells you, do you want to join this new Wi-Fi network called Ray-Ban Glasses or whatever? You hit yes. Your phone disconnects from your infrastructure Wi-Fi. It creates an ad hoc connection to your glasses. And it transfers the videos that way, your pictures that way. When it works, it's really fast and it's really nice because it's over Wi-Fi, but occasionally it doesn't necessarily work. So you'll try to connect and it just, you have to restart the app or restart the glasses, et cetera. And the glasses can also overheat. So if the sun and the glasses get too hot, it won't let you transfer anything until the glasses cool off a little
bit. That's pretty funny. Well, yeah. In a sad way, it's funny.
But overall, for the price that you pay for them, I actually have been pretty happy with them. Now, obviously, I don't do any of the camera, glasses, stuff that you might want, but they're nice for taking photos. And no one has yet caught me taking a video of them, even though there's a little blue light. So I do tell people when I have them on, hey, just so you know, I have these glasses that...
Full disclosure.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at the website now, and there's a variety of models, and the prices all vary. There's one that's as low as $230. It's a 30% discount today, and as high as about $300. So, and they do look different. So some are rounder, some are, you know, whatever. What's the, is there any difference electronically function, or is it just all appearance?
No, it is all appearance, and obviously the most expensive ones they have are the Wayfarers, which are signature style that people know about Ray-Ban. So I was lucky last year when I bought mine that I did get the Wayfarer.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think I paid, I'm trying to remember how much I paid for them. I think they were, when they first launched, they sort of knew that people were going to be a little bit hesitant to buy something from Ray-Ban, which is not a software company, with the software made by Meta, which is not the most universally trusted company in the world. But I did pay $299. I'm looking it up. I thought I had paid a little bit less, but I paid $299 and then $20 tax, so $319.93. I bought them on May 2nd of 2022. So they've kept the same price. If you would like the round or the meteor, you can get them cheaper than the wearers.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at now. I'm not going to buy them because I have to get prescriptions and all kinds of good stuff. So I'm not going to. Also, I don't really need them. But I know you've been making good use of them on roller coasters and other things. So,
That was surprising about them. And I'm not worried about them. They're pretty solidly constructed. So they don't feel fragile, even though they have to be fragile. I mean, they've got electronics and such.
Right. And how you charge them, like a USB-C, or is it a micro USB, or
So they actually come with a charging hard case. They come with a soft, flip case that you can keep them in your bag in. But then they actually have a hard case that you put them in and they dock into that hard case. The hard case has a battery in it, so it can top it off or charge, I think, one or two times. And then the back of the hard case has a USB-C port, so you can plug it, to plug the case in. So you can have them in there charging, or you can throw the hard case in your bag for a trip and not really have to charge it at all. You just put the glasses in there at the end of the day, and by the next day, they're charged up for new usage. And
is the hard case charging case an extra cost, or is that ship with it?
Nope, it is included with the glasses.
Oh, nice.
Because otherwise, you'd have no way to charge it. There's no ports on it except the contacts for the charging case.
I thought you also bought at some point glasses that you could use to look at have a screen in front of you, or am I thinking of?
I had thought about that, and I just never pulled the trigger. I was looking at them, and I had them in my cart a few times, but I just never did.
Because I remember when I used to actually travel, which I've stopped doing, but when I used to actually travel, I used to look in those little those airline the catalogs in the back. What were they called? In the back seat of the plane, and they'd always have SkyMall. Thank you. And they'd always have these, display glasses that you put on. And you could look at a movie, but I think you needed a PC to pop or something. And that means, you have to open up your notebook in a plane. And if you're in, coach, that's not a smart thing to do. So I never bought them. But that was a big attraction to me at the time, because a lot of times the movies that the airlines had were not something I wanted to see or I'd already seen. But I've never bought any of these. I think the closest thing I've bought to any kind of glasses at all, display or not, I haven't bought any recording, was probably the cardboard glasses from Google to view 3D images using the cardboard app, which is very fun to use, by the way. I'm sad that they did away with all of that, and I don't think I can even look at my old 3D images anymore, which is, very Googly of them. And it's too bad, because some of the photos are of pets that have passed on and so forth. So very sad that those images are no longer accessible to me. Or if they are, I don't know how to access them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I'm still thinking about that RockVid thing. I'll give it a lot of thought. I don't know. I'll give it a thought.
Saying, yeah, well, at least you have someone who can vouch that they are useful.
And I tried it.
Like I said, that was the thing that always stopped me, was I didn't know if I would. And I guess I still, to some extent, don't know if I would wear glasses that just provide screens for watching video.
Yeah.
Apple's Vision Pro seems to be able to do some more than just that. So that is one of the reasons it's attractive to me. But
Jared told me during the podcast, that it had... his RockVids and his other glasses, I think mostly the RockVid now, have replaced his monitor. So he had a 27-inch monitor that he was using for work, when he's teleworking or whatever, and he gave it away.
You mean?
Because he said, I'm going to use this for everything, and that is his display, which I found really interesting, which is why I wanted to talk to him, because he's literally using it every single day. And I was intrigued by that notion that, somebody would work like that. Not that it's a bad thing to do. It's just that I don't know anybody else who's doing it, who's working like that. So, all righty. Next thing. Last thing, I guess. You have something you have done that I did not know about.
Yeah. So, last weekend, the reason I was not around, visiting family, and I was asked by my nieces and nephews at one point to give them a ride Polaris Ranger, which is a side-by-side little thing that you could ride around in the grass, and my in-laws have it for getting around their yard and haul tools around, that sort of thing. So at the end of it, because I have a reputation for driving rather fast on those things, which of course the kids like, kids don't ever ask you to go slow. They want to, they want to get thrown around a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm strapped in, and I fishtailed it a few times, picked up some gravel, and they were quite happy about it. But they were screaming that I was driving crazy, and they enjoyed crazy driving. So I was thinking about this and thinking, next time I'm up there, I should really have, it'd be kind of funny to have a logo and a shirt, like a a driver's shirt with a polo with a Stitch logo on it or something. So I thought, well, how quick could I make up a logo for this thing? So my first stop was going over to Microsoft Image Creator.
Right.
And I put in a prompt that was, quote, a red Polaris Ranger XR driving in the grass in comic book style. And it gave me three or four options. So I found an option I liked. Then I went to Canva.com. That's a ton of different logos and templates and all that. I found a logo option I liked for free. I made my logo, got the kind of font I wanted and everything else. Then I went to, I exported it. Now, Canva, for their free account, they don't allow you to export a transparent image. But they allow you to have a regular PNG or PDF or whatever you want. Right. So I took it as a PDF, actually, because that was the highest res I could get.
Right.
Because the PNG was limited to a specific size on the free account. Took it to PowerPoint. PowerPoint was more than happy to remove the background. No issue. And Canva also had other templates, like business cards. So I was able to make, you know, a funny business card template that I sent off and said, well, now I'm open for business, you know.
I'm looking at them now.
So next time I have a trip planned to go up there and see the nieces and nephews, I probably will get a shirt made
that's you know,
staff on the back and has Uncle John's crazy rides on it. And we'll maybe give out little cards. I might even send out little cards in their Christmas gifts or something, you know, redeemable for a free ride.
Maybe a little sign that says, I survived Uncle John's crazy ride.
Yeah, I thought about certificates, you know, I could do a certificate of survival. It just is interesting today how in 5 minutes, without being a designer, you can
say, it looks good.
Well, if I had this logo that would have the thing in the middle and have a scripty font for my name and then a, you know, and I just kind of thought it up and had it designed in 5 minutes.
Now, so one comment and one question. So my comment is, did you know that Apple's going to send masked agents after me. Apple's preview app in macOS can remove backgrounds from images?
I think I did know that. I've just done it with PowerPoint.
I just happened to do it yesterday, and I didn't know that until yesterday. I brought into preview mode just to look at an image I'd created. I mashed two photos together of my pet, one before the summer, winter to summer fur change, and one after. And I was just kind of clicking around the menu. Oh, there's a removed background. Let's try that. And it did a really good job. So there's that. My other question is Canva. I did not realize Canva had a free tier.
Yep.
And have you used it much aside from this, or did you sign up just for this?
I have used it a lot.
Really?
Canva is just fun for me for a lot of things. One of the things that I particularly like is going in and getting templates for things like wedding invitations or a formal event and then making a joking invitation to send to someone. So I have one that I sent years ago to a group of friends who was like, let's go play mini golf. And, you know, it looks like a wedding invitation. So it's just, yeah, I use it for professional things. I do use it for work occasionally. I use it for an infographic that I create every semester. I've used it for other random things. So yeah, I'm a big fan of Canva. I don't feel like paying for it, but I'll use it for free. No problems at all.
All right. Well, I have heard a lot about it, but I never really, and I always assumed it was a for-fee thing. And as you know, I don't want to pay anything anymore. So I never signed up for it, but I went there and it says, yeah, you can sign in with Google even to create your account. So in fact, shall I click on that and be crazy? Yes, I apparently now have an account. Apparently I do. It's throwing me into...
Well, that's what I use. Mine's just tied to my Google account as well. So.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, thanks again. Once again, I have learned something from John, and this is something that happens quite frequently, which is why I so enjoy podcasting with you, John. Thank you once again. All right, so I'm in. I have learned something new. The other thing I just wanted to mention before we sign off is that, John, well, we've had a lot of technical issues with Teams over the last couple of years that we've been using it. I like using Teams because I got so comfortable with it before I retired, using Teams in Enterprise. So I just kind of like the consumer edition, especially now that it looks more like the Enterprise edition. And we can do things like schedule things for your calendar and so forth. But I do recognize that people other than John have problems even just logging in and using it. And today, John, who can log in just fine, had it just wouldn't let him start a session with me. I think we could chat, but he couldn't start the video meeting with me that we had in calendar. And other people have had much worse problems. So we're kind of looking at other options. We might try Google Meet. Can't think of other things. I don't want to use WebEx because I had so many problems with that. Zoom has a time limit for me, so I don't want to use that. Skype is kind of dead for everybody. Nobody remembers how to use it. And I should note, John and I use Skype for many, many, many years exclusively for our podcast with our friends who no longer remember how to use it because it's been so long since they used it. So running out of things to try that are reliable, like we might try Google Meet on our next podcast. I'm going to have to go build a new workflow for it. Oh, we're also looking to see if Google Meet could record, but it looks like you need a business or education account to do that. So maybe not, but I'll take a look at to see if that's possible to record even directly in Google Meet. I don't think so. What happens to my existing recordings after COVID-19 features expire? Okay, I don't know what that means. All right, so I will try to learn more about Google Meet and see if there. I think I tried it once with somebody, and I might have been like an audio permission thing in Chrome, of all things, right? You would think Google would say, "Oh, I know how to use you," and just do it, but no. And we'll take a look. If any of our fives of listeners have any recommendations or have used Google Meet extensively, please let John and I know how you've been using it, especially if you record using Google Meet, either using its built-in function, and if it will work in your consumer space, which is the account I have, or if you require a paid version. Anywho, that's about all I got. Thanks, John. Yeah, good to have you back. And again, thanks to Jared for filling in and educating me this past week while John was on a super secret mission giving people thrilling rides, thrilling scary rides. All right, we will talk to you next time.